She's a depressed 20-something with a college degree who copes with life by smoking too much weed, dodging cochinos as she rolls down the street.
Oye, mami, I wanna be your dog.
Aim higher, pendejo.
She's la marihuanera, as seen on IG.
That's me.
Marihuanera.
This is Mala Munoz coming to you with a new episode of Marihuanera, a podcast for potheads. It's been some time since I've recorded, and I'm really happy to be sitting down to give you guys a little update on what I've been up to and where I've been and what's been going on in my life. I'm actually recording from the LA Central Library from the Octavia Butler Lab. It's a very cool space. They have laser cutters. They have photo studios, music studios, podcasting studios. And, you know, I moved recently and I was planning on just recording from inside my apartment like I had been doing for some time. And once I got in there, I realized, oh, wait, my apartment is way too big and the ceilings are just way too high. And this is not going to work because there's too much echo in here. So I came over to the public library because I live not too far from the Central Library. And I decided to become a member at the Octavia Lab, and I wanted to get in here and learn how to use the equipment and start recording audio again. But now, for the first time, the Marihuanera audio is studio quality, thanks to the Octavia Lab and to the LA Public Library and the Central Library, which I think is pretty dang cool if you ask me. So can I be honest? At the beginning of this year, I recorded tons of interviews with some of my favorite comics all over LA, and we recorded over Zoom really great interviews, and I like never got around to editing them and putting them out. It just like got away from me, you know, and I haven't really put an episode out in a long time. And I feel like every time I put an episode out, I'm like, oh my God, it's been forever since I've recorded and published an episode. So sorry, guys. But it has been forever since I've published an episode. And I am so sorry, you guys. I mean, I'm not that sorry because I'm just not. And I've had other things going on. And you know, the podcast happens when I am inspired to make the podcast. The podcast, you know, like exists in its own time frame, on its own plane, in its own like hemisphere. It's its own universe and it has its own pulse, and she's gonna do what she's gonna do. Like when La Marihuanera shows up and she has something to say and she's ready to speak, like she's gonna say it and she's gonna speak on it. And that's the Marihuanera promise. What I will share is that there has been a wee bit of drama. I posted about this on my TikTok the other day, but my car of 10 years is gone. It is kaput. It is dead. It is no more. It's in the Hyundai Veloster graveyard. I mean, I sold it. It's still, somebody else is using it now, but it's dead to me. So my car, my little space egg, as my sister calls it, I bought my Hyundai Veloster like in 2014, 2015, when I graduated from college and I came home to LA. And I loved the little car, cute little hatchback. The car got me through relationships and friendships and jobs and haircuts and eras and epics and moods and all kinds of things. I would take that little car to the beach and go roller skating. I would take my cousins around in that car. I would hang out with my friends in that car. I would hotbox in that car. I smoked a lot of weed in that car. Up until the day, the last day that I drove it, I was smoking in that car, okay? And that car was my trusty steed. That car has been with me for all of my 20s, basically. And it's just so interesting and so timely the way that the car went kaput at the same time as I'm going through a lot of other transformations in my life. Maybe 6 months ago, I actually don't remember when it was that I posted this, but I put this on Threads. I think it was on Threads, not on Twitter, not on X. It was on Threads. I threaded this and I said, you know what? Watch me change my life in the next 6 months. And I took a trip I took a trip to Guadalajara with my mom and my grandma and my sister. And, you know, my grandmother is older, my grandma Nacha, and she wanted to go to her pueblo kind of like as a despedida, to be like, goodbye. I mean, she's going to live forever and she's going to like, we could go back next year. She's very strong. She's very healthy. But that was kind of the energy behind the trip, was going, because I had never been to Guadalajara and neither has my sister. And we had never been to her pueblo. And it was cool to go and meet like family elders who she grew up with and who stayed, you know, and she came to Los Angeles and a lot of her family is still in the original house where they all grew up. And they have their cows out back and they sell milk at the local town. And so, you know, they're dairy farmers, basically. They have like a couple cows. And that's really how they spend their days, you know, like taking care of the cows, because they have to be taken out and washed and fed and tended to and milked. And it's a whole thing. So it was just really fascinating, like, to meet them. It was really fascinating to meet them, to see where my grandmother grew up, to meet these people who knew my grandmother when she was a little girl. I mean, you know, obviously I've only known her as a grandma, as an older woman, and who already raised kids and, you know, now has grandchildren. So to be around people who knew, you know, baby Nacha and child Nacha, adolescent Nacha, was very cool, very special. And to see old photos of them and then to see them as they are now, it was really quite neat. We went to their local church and we went to the cemetery where all of my grandmother's relatives are buried, including her parents and her grandparents and other aunts and uncles and such. And that was a very beautiful experience. It started raining and storming while we were in the cemetery and we had to get out of there. And it was very fun. It was very emotional. It was a very beautiful experience. So I was very grateful for that. And then, so then what happened was I already knew that I wanted to like change up my life and like move. And I was involved in a class action lawsuit with the former employer. And due to legal reasons, I cannot get into the specifics of said class action, but we had a settlement and I received a healthy settlement check. And so I went on that trip. And then the day I got back from my trip, I was like, you know what? I want to move. And the day I got back to LA, I toured apartments. And I was like, this is the one I want. I love it. It's perfect. It's huge. It has big windows, natural light. I have a parking spot. I can have my dog. Like, I have two bathrooms. I have in-unit, you know, washer and dryer. And I have my utilities and all that cute stuff. And everything is perfect. And I love it. And hardwood floors. And it was just a vibe, you know, and very affordable and just, you know, everything that I needed. And I decided this is going to be one of the things that I do to change my life. I'm going to leave the family home and I'm going to go and make my own home somewhere else in an apartment building with my dog. And so ever since moving, you know, I've just been getting my groove and getting to know my new neighborhood and doing lots of exploring, spending lots of time at home decorating, still sort of slowly unpacking little things here and there, especially like my photos and my jewelry and things. And I got rid of tons of clothes. I got rid of tons of stuff. And, you know, you realize that when you leave your family home, it's not just stuff from the past 5 years or whatever. It's like stuff from the time that you were in elementary school, you know? And so I really had to comb through, and I literally had so many documents and like so much paperwork and just so much fucking stuff. I had 75 pounds of paper shredded. I am not joking. I had to go to a professional shredder because, you know, we'll shred at home. And it was just too much. It was overwhelming. I didn't have enough time. Like between the time I signed my lease and when I moved in, like I needed to move. So I got rid of a ton of stuff. And I felt like it was like a purging, like a cleansing. And ever since, you know, I'm like rebuilding my life and decorating and homemaking and getting to know my building and just kind of getting a new flow for myself. And now without the car, I'm using tons of public transportation. I took the bus today. I take the metro everywhere. I take the bus everywhere. I still do like rideshare and stuff. I've been doing a lot of walking. So it's been really fun and it's been really refreshing. And I honestly felt like I needed a break from the car anyways. I was ready to no longer have the car. I was ready to be done with the insurance and the maintenance. And this year alone, I had so many issues with the car. Like I said, I had her for like 10 years, so it makes sense. You know, things break down, things need to be replaced. And for a 10-year-old car, my most recent issues with her, I really didn't want to put that kind of money into my old bucket, you know? And so what happened was, a couple months ago, I was going to Bakersfield to visit my family. As many of you know, I have family in Bakersfield. That's where my dad is from. So I go up there all the time. And driving the Grapevine, like, I always want my car to be oil changed, full tank of gas, brakes are working, everything is in tip-top shape, because I don't want to get stuck on the Grapevine or have an accident on the Grapevine. And any of you who have driven from Southern California to the Central Valley, you've probably driven the Grapevine, unless you've driven through the desert or along the coast. There's other ways to get there, but I think the most direct, fastest route, if you want to get like from LA County to Kern County and beyond, is driving the Grapevine. So anyways, I've said the word Grapevine so many times now. Jesus, Lord in heaven. So on a visit, I'm like, let me go get my oil changed. That I didn't have any lights on my dash. You know, there was like nothing wrong with my car. I didn't take it in because I had an issue. I went in because I was like, let me make sure that I get my oil changed and I'm just like good to go before I get up there. Right. So they tell me my car is done. I drive at the top of the Grapevine. I get on my dash. I see my brake light, you know, it goes off. And then slowly I start to lose my brakes and I have no brakes. Like, I am coasting down the fucking freeway and coming down the effing mountain and entering into the valley and into Kern County. And I like basically coasted all the way to Bakersfield, all the way to my parents' house with no brakes. And it was like I had to push all the way, all the way, all the way, all the way. And then the car would come to the most gradual snail-like stop. And I should have pulled over, but I also didn't want to pull over on that highway because it's also dangerous. You know what I mean? And luckily, it was like a day of the week and a time of day where there was really no one on the road. So I kind of just made it, luckily. I take my car in there in Bakersfield and I'm like, this is what happened. My car was fine. The brakes were fine. I took it in for the oil to get changed and now I don't have brakes. The brakes aren't working. So something happened where the mechanic like left things loose or unscrewed and then all of my brake fluid drained. And then I had no brake fluid by the time I, you know, had been driving for an hour and a half, right? An hour. So they had to like drain my system and replace my brakes and I had to get my tires replaced. It was a whole thing, right? So that's one thing. I'm like, okay, whatever. Like, okay, it's just $1,200 later and a near-death experience, but we're back in business. I'm driving my car. And with my comedy shows and stuff, you know, the shows can be in random obscure places. They can be far away. You know, I've had to drive to San Diego and stuff. And so having a car has been really essential. And so like, it's like, I need my car, you know, and I paid off my car years ago. So I didn't want to like get a new car and have a car note. Like, dear Lord, I don't want a monthly car note. I just moved, you know, like get me a break. So then what I decided to do was to just, you know, keep driving until the wheels fall off. And the next time there's an issue with the car, I'm getting rid of it. You know, I'm changing my life. I moved. I'm going to get rid of the car. You know, a new era, a new chapter. So the other day, I'm driving to Long Beach. I'm driving on the 710 to go to Long Beach because I'm going to go meet up with Stevana Delgado and Gigi Garcia, two hilarious comedians that I met at Chatterbox Covina. Famously, you know, I love Chatterbox and that is my comedy home. So we have been having like little writer's rooms because we are forming something of a comedy collective and there's more coming, but we're writing sketches, we're filming, we're doing fun stuff. All that to say, I'm driving out there to Long Beach because they drove to me last time. They came to LA. They live out there. So I'm like going out to meet them. I'm on the 710. My car now stops responding to my gas. And my car just comes to like a very slow, gradual stop. And I have to kind of like putter off of the freeway. I end up somewhere in Commerce. I like putter. I have to like stop, restart my car, and then I can kind of make it move. And I pulled into the parking lot of a business, called a tow. Tow truck driver was super cool. He's like in the lowrider scene, and he like lends his lowrider out for music videos and stuff. Shout out Hawks Towing. He's like a tow truck influencer. He was like posting on Instagram as he was towing my car, and I like reposted it on my stories. It was so funny. He was really cool. He was really, really cool. Shout out Hawks Towing. If you're ever in Commerce and need a tow, give him a call. So he's also on Instagram. And we had a cute little conversation. It was really fun. So then I take my car to a mechanic who is actually, my mom is a teacher, and one of her parents of her students who has like 3 million kids, and they're all girls. They and she's, my mother has taught all of them, and he like has been taking care of our cars, and he's worked on my car in the past. So he is down the street from where my car stopped working. So I was just towed to his place, and he was like working on it and telling me what the issue was. And sure enough, it's the catalytic converter. It's this, that, it's the this, it's the, it's everything. Everything needs to be replaced. The car is old, right? And I drive the hell out of that car. Like, I am rough on my car. Like, I am not nice to my car, but she can handle me. She can withstand me, you know, she can take it. And I give it to her real good. I'll tell you that. So I, but that's, she can, she's sturdy, you know, she's been a very good girl. So he's explaining to me what it's going to cost, and it's going to be thousands of dollars, of course, and like lots of work. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to get rid of it. This is it. This is the sign. I don't need any more signs from the universe that it's time to say goodbye to this car. And then I find out that someone that we went to school with was tragically killed in a car accident on the freeway. And I'm like, this is enough. Like, I had a cousin last year. It's been 2 years now. Actually, I can't believe it. And who was also tragically killed in a car accident. And I'm just like, you know what? I don't trust this car anymore. And she's got to go. So I sold her. She's donezo. RIP. Love her so much. But I really am changing everything about my life. And I'm like loving it. You know, it's like been very cool. It's been very fun. I also went to Peru, which I talked about on Locatora Radio with Diosa. Diosa turned 30, and for her 30th, she organized the trip of a lifetime and took us to Lima, where her family lives, and we stayed with her family. So fun, such nice people, such a good time. We went to Lima, and then we went to Cusco, and Diosa set it up so that we hiked the Inca Trail. Now, it's the long trail is like a four-day hike, and you're camping to get to Machu Picchu. But we did the two-day, and it was grueling. It was grueling. It was amazing. It was beautiful. I got eaten up by Machu Picchu mosquitoes because I didn't wear pants or use bug repellent, which was my B. That was my B. I should know better, but I had a lot going on that day, the day before. Okay, so we're hiking the Inca Trail, right? And we get to the top. We get to Machu Picchu. It's beautiful. It's glorious. Like, we've just done this rigorous six-hour hike. Very steep, uphill, lots of stairs, like stone stairs. Like, the Incas, they built like steps, like staircases, essentially into the sides of these mountains to create the Inca Trail. And so it's like sort of paved with rocks. And it's just real steep. And it was like, I have not hiked like that in a very long time. You know, when I'm hiking in LA, they're like leisurely hikes. Anywho, so it was very fun though. And so we get to Machu Picchu, and it's one of the wonders of the world, and it's beautiful, and it's very, you know, kind of mystical and otherworldly. And it's just way up there in the mountains, very hidden, very green, and just like very breathtaking. And we're learning so much. And then when I get reception again and we come down from Machu Picchu, like, I get a bunch of text messages from my mom and my family back home that my grandfather passed away. And he was in the hospital, and he had been sick for a very, very long time. He was an old man. But when he went into the hospital this most recent time, it wasn't like a severe, scary, like, thing. Like, it was kind of routine. you know, when he was checked into the hospital this most recent time. And it was sort of shocking and unexpected that he passed. It was unexpected for everybody. But luckily, he was surrounded by friends and family, and he's no longer in pain. He's no longer suffering. We held services for him. We had a funeral. And, you know, I miss him a lot. I lived with my grandparents basically for all of my 20s. After I graduated from college, I moved in with my grandparents. And I was renting from my grandmother. And me and my grandfather would hang out all the time and see each other all the time and talk all the time. And very funny man. My grandfather was from Puerto Rico, and he was a fisherman. And he loved to cook, and he loved to garden, and he loved to help out at the panaderia that an extended family member owns in Inglewood. And he loved to go deep sea fishing, and he loved to get a rotisserie chicken every week and just like snack on it. And he was always cooking something and giving me food and giving me $20 and telling me a joke, making me laugh. He loved my dogs. I had a dog named Taquito, who my grandpa was obsessed with, and Taquito was obsessed with grandpa. And of course, Papas. Grandpa loves Papas, and they would hang out all the time. Like, they would just keep each other company in the yard and stuff. He was a carpenter, and he was always working on a project and fixing the leg of a chair or refurbishing a table. And yeah, just beautiful memories with him. Rest in peace, Grandpa. Love him very much. Cool cat. And yeah, now my grandma Nacha's like, who am I going to fight with now? And I'm like, me probably. nobody has to fight with anybody. We can all just have a good time and get along, you know? But so that has been another major change in my life that I wasn't anticipating. And it's kind of a sad change, but it's a change nonetheless. And dang, things are just, and so I find that out. I find out we're in Peru. I find out that my grandfather passed away, and I'm like in Peru. And so I'm like with Diosa and her cousin, and we're literally at Machu Picchu. And to get from Cusco to Lima is a flight. And then right, Lima to LA, you have to fly to Miami or somewhere else first. At least I had to when I returned. We changed my flight. And so it was like basically taking like one, two, three, like almost like, you know, like I had to take like four flights to get home. But Diosa was really cool and loving and supporting and supportive, and helped me to get my flights changed so that I could come home early, because we did 9 days of a rosary of rosaries and of praying the rosary. What is a novario? Let me look it up, because we did like 9 days. And I couldn't make all of the days, but I went as much as I could. And we prayed the rosary in Spanish at my grandmother's house. And it was actually very beautiful. Like, you know, I have many negative things to say about the Catholic Church and Catholicism. But in my experience and in my opinion, the way that Catholics send off the dead, like the ritual, the prayer, the dedication, the ceremony, all of it, like, I think makes the experience feel like very special, and like that person has had proper intention and energy for their send off. And I don't know, like if we didn't do those things for him, it would have felt like we didn't do enough, like something was missing, at least for me, because I grew up in it and in the church. And all that ceremony is like, no, I better have a fucking high holy mass. I want all the pomp and circumstance. I want the vestments, you know, I want the incense. I want the readings. I want the choir. I want everything. I want the procession. I want sobs, you know, like I want all of it. I want big candles. I want the whole thing. I want an open casket. I want a view. I want all of the things, you know. I want all the blessings. God knows I'm going to need all the blessings and prayer. I'm going to need an 18-day rosary to make sure that my spirit makes it to heaven. You know, I'm going to need that. So like, let's do it. Let's do the whole thing. Okay, so the novenas, right? We did like 9 days. Novenas, that's the word. And yes, anyway, so it was very beautiful. And so, okay, like I'm jumping back and forth. But so back to Peru, right? Flights are being changed so that I can leave. We fly from Cusco. I cannot tell this story right now. I'm like all over the place, as you can tell. We fly from Cusco. we get back to Lima. While in Lima, Diosa changes my flight so that I can fly back to LA early. So I catch a flight from Lima to Miami and then to LA. And then I get home, I shower, and then I go to my grandma's house because they're already starting to pray the rosary and I don't want to like miss it. And I went to Subway to like go pick up sandwiches for everybody per my mother's request. And while I'm at the Subway, this man walks in and he was being like really loud and kind of aggressive. And so me and the lady behind the counter who was like, you know, taking my order and making my sandwich, we're like looking at each other and just being like, what's about to happen? Like, is he about to like, you know, do something extra that he's not supposed to be doing? So we're like looking at each other and I'm like, yeah, I'll take the meatball marinara. And, you know, she's trying to conduct business as usual, but we're both kind of just like watching him out of the corner of our eye. And then I'm trying to like pay her and we're trying to survive this man who's like kind of making us uncomfortable. And while all that's happening, my mother calls me and she's like, you need to go downtown and pick up our friend because she just passed out at Señor Fish. And I'm like, what? And she's like, yes. And so I'm like trying to finish up the order. The lady's trying to charge me. My mom's like, you have to go to Señor Fish right now because such and such a family friend is like over there. She hit her head. It's like a whole thing. I'm like, oh, my God. Mind you, I just got back from this wild flight from Lima so that I could go and like mourn my grandfather. And I'm at the Subway. I have the subs in my hand. I go downtown. I go pick up the friend. We go to my grandma's. We start praying the rosary. Before all of that, going back to Peru, while I'm still in Lima, right, before I get on my flight to Miami so that I can then end up in LA, I also get more news of a different kind. I applied to grad school for an MFA, and I got the news that I got accepted. So I got the email. I'm already like, you know, a mess because of my grandfather passing. And I found that out in Cusco and now I'm in Lima and I'm getting this great news that I got into this MFA program and I'm very happy. But it was just like a whirlwind of emotions. Then I get back to LA. All this is happening. We're praying the rosary. We send him off. And so I've also kind of not been posting and I haven't really done a lot of comedy. I haven't done a lot of shows in November because I have been in mourning and I just like needed a break from everything. And I needed to mourn and kind of just spend time to myself and in thought and in prayer and things like that. And now that grad school is coming, I start in January, I've been like preparing myself to go back to school. I haven't been to school in 10 years, you know? And so I've been out here real feral, just real hippy dippy, you know, doing my podcast thing and my comedy thing and my life thing and just living and traveling and working and just doing and being. And now I feel like I've been like an outdoor girl and I need to be an indoor girl for a little bit. And I'm ready to go back to school and like learn from pros and learn from professors and learn from other students and be on campus. And I feel like it's a good time for me. I can afford it. You know, we're doing well with everything that we're doing podcast wise. Like, I just feel like I know what I want to do. I know what I want to study. Before, I didn't know. I knew I wanted to go back to school, but I didn't know for what. And I'm not yet certain if I want to share which school I'm going to and which program. I've been kind of getting weird, like, mal de ojo vibes, like, for different reasons, like, out and about. And, like, yes, that's all I'm going to say about that. But part of me wants to just like protect that and keep that to myself for a little while. But it is very exciting, I want you to know. Very prestigious and competitive. And I'm thrilled. So that's been me. That's been me recently. And I'm happy that I got to sit down and record again at the Octavia Lab at the LA Central Library. I love it here. I'm having a great time. I'm back like operating a soundboard like I used to do at Espacio 1839 when we recorded Locatora there in Boyle Heights before we went in studio and all that stuff with our network and all those beautiful things. So it's fun. And yeah, I look forward to sharing more with you guys. I'm not sure how much longer I'm going to leave this season or when I'm going to cut it off or when I'm going to start the new season. But that's me. That's it for now. Thank you so much for lighting up and tuning in. This has been another episodio of Marihuanera, a podcast for podheads.